So this week, Russian President Vladimir Putin said his country's developed a coronavirus vaccine ready for public distribution and that his daughter has already taken a dose. Well, scientists in the U.S. are skeptical about safety. It's just too fast. But it does raise the question, where are we on vaccines here? When will we have one? Well, spoiler alert, no one really knows. But let's bring in Dr. Richard Kennedy. He leads the vaccine research group at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, one of the labs working to develop a coronavirus vaccine. Dr. Kennedy, welcome.
Hi, Robin. It's a pleasure to be here.
And talk about the timing. We've heard President Trump say we could have a vaccine by October. We've also heard Dr. Anthony Fauci say early next year. We're hearing scientists and researchers say, we need even more time than that. Where do you fall on this?
I'm probably with the majority of the scientists saying that we'll likely need more time than that. If we're all wrong and we get there faster, that'd be fantastic. But right now, where we're at with sort of the front runner vaccines are we've just started phase 3 clinical trials. And so it's going to be 3 or 4 months at least before we start having the data we need to make the decisions as to whether or not these vaccines are safe and effective.
And remind us what that is, phase 3.
Sure. That's the last phase before we can license a vaccine. And here we're talking, it's not hundreds, it's not 1,000, but tens of thousands of people that we need to test the vaccine in. And we're continuing to look at safety, but we're also looking at efficacy. And so now we need to study large populations, and the populations have to be people that are susceptible or at risk of the disease.
So are you talking about a vaccine that completely protects someone, gives them full immunity? Are you talking about vaccines that will lessen the severity or maybe give them short-term immunity? What are the vaccines looking for?
So the ideal situation is a protective vaccine, what we call sterile immunity. So if you get exposed again, the response is so strong that the virus can't even establish a foothold or infect you. That sometimes happens, but your immune response and vaccines, how they work, it's not like a light switch where it's off or on. It's more like a dimmer switch. So there is a variety of different partial immunity that you can get. So the flu vaccine is a great example. On a good year, it could protect you against infection. On a bad year, it might prevent you from having serious illness, but you still experience some symptoms. We don't know what we're going to see with the vaccines to coronavirus. And that's one of the things we're looking at during these phase 3 clinical trials.
Yeah. We do know a bit about the different methods. Now, your lab is working on one called a peptide vaccine. It would use parts of the coronavirus that the body then recognizes and will generate an immune response like, oh, I'm going to fight that off. And it produces the antibodies, which will then be protective when the real virus comes along. And, you know, we've reported on others that use RNA to almost be a Trojan horse to bring something into the body. Can you just briefly say what the different categories of vaccine are at this point?
Sure. So at a very high level, we have whole virus vaccines. Sometimes it's a live virus that's been weakened. Sometimes it's a killed or inactivated virus. And then we have what are called protein or subunit vaccines, where it's bits and pieces of the virus. And then we have vectored vaccines, where they take one piece of the virus, put it in another virus that we know can be safe, for example, adenovirus or measles virus. And then we have the RNA vaccines, and that's instead of a live virus, we're simply using RNA. The purpose of all of these different types of vaccines is to produce viral proteins in your body so that your immune system can recognize them and produce antibodies.
So different thoughts, different ways, everybody with the same goal, to have something that's safe. How do you calculate safe? Is there a certain number of people who, you know, this may not be safe for, but that's acceptable?
So each of the types of vaccines has different advantages and disadvantages. For example, the live virus vaccines typically have the strongest immune response. However, they've got live virus, and so they're in some ways less safe. For example, the measles vaccine and a lot of the other live virus vaccines we have are not given to, for example, pregnant women or anyone who has a condition that compromises or weakens their immune system. One of the reasons we're looking at all of these different types of vaccines is because they're likely going to be geared towards different target populations. How we measure safety usually requires very large study populations, and for the most part, vaccines are very safe, and most of them have side effects, things like your arm is hurt because we stuck a needle in your arm, or you have a brief fever, or you're feeling a little under the weather for a few days. More rarely, we have adverse events, a very high fever, maybe some nausea and vomiting. We're talking one in 5,000, 10,000, sometimes even one in 100,000 cases. In order to study those effects, we need very large clinical trials. For example, the Moderna and the Oxford trials, the phase 3 trials, they're going to have 20,000 people with the vaccine and 10,000 controls. That's only large enough to find side effects that are as rare as one in 5,000. So we'll get some information on safety, but rare adverse events or rare side effects, we're going to have to wait till we see large-scale use of these vaccines in the population.
You know, we already know, I'm repeating myself here, I've said this before, but we already know that there are people who are against vaccines who are, you know, hitching that campaign to the fact that the White House is moving so quickly on this. And there are concerns that maybe the safety will be put aside. Reassure people that when a vaccine does come out, it will have gone through safety checks and also the benefits of a vaccine against coronavirus.
The process that we have in place right now to develop, test, and evaluate vaccines results in very safe, very effective vaccines. So it's important not to cut any corners. And what we're seeing is there's tremendous pressure, both from a political side and also from the public, to try and shorten the timeline to accelerate it. And there's things we can do to do that. We can run phase 1 and phase 2 trials together. We can make the trials larger to begin with. We can help the regulatory agencies review things quickly. We're also seeing a lot of companies create millions of doses of vaccine before they get the results back from the clinical testing. That way, if the trials are successful, they've already saved months of production time. The important thing is to not compromise any of the safety studies that we're doing. People are just going to have to accept the fact that that delay is important because we need a vaccine that works and we need one that's safe. It would be a disaster to have a vaccine come out that causes harm or simply doesn't work.
What about the production? And then, how long will it take to ramp that up?
Well, that's a great question. No company has ever created 7 or 8 billion doses of a vaccine, and yet that's kind of what the world is expecting to happen. And so it's likely going to be a united effort across multiple companies to create the vaccine doses that we need. Vaccines, depending on what kind they are, take anywhere from a couple of weeks to 6 months or so to develop. And so getting a jump start on that early on is very important.
And will some people get it before others, let's say frontline workers?
It's entirely possible, almost guaranteed, that we'll have to phase this appropriately. There's more demand than we will be able to have immediately available. And so they're going to have to come up with some phased approach. It's likely going to be given to the people that need it the most, the healthcare workers and frontline responders, or people who are older or have those comorbidities that we know predispose you to more serious disease.
Well, finally, Dr. Richard Kennedy, again, leading the vaccine research group at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. They have their own vaccine candidate that they're working on. How does it feel to be in this moment? Is it, you know, exciting? Who wouldn't want to have the Kennedy vaccine? I mean, you know, the name Salk is equal to life-saving. You know, to be a part of that, is that elating or exhausting?
It is a little of both. It's a little surreal because there's a tremendous amount of excitement because you can see immediate application for the work that you're involved in. And there's a sense of urgency and there's a little bit of pressure to get this done and get it done properly, but get it done in the shortest amount of time as possible. And the faster we get it done, the more lives we're able to save.
Well, we wish you the best. Again, Dr. Richard Kennedy from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, thank you.
Thank you. It was my pleasure, Robin.